Ron, obviously just a shocking day today with the decision from Judge James Boasberg about shutting down the Dakota Access Pipeline. Maybe just give me your initial reaction to this decision today.
Well, I think your assessment of shocking is absolutely on point. This is a pipeline that obviously hasn't, there's been no lack of discussion about this pipeline, and throughout all the rhetoric over the past number of years, and I think, you know, really heading 2016 is what we're talking about. But the reality is this pipeline has been operational for 3+ years. This pipeline has transported 570,000 barrels a day of high-quality North Dakota Bakken oil to the largest refining center in North America and Louisiana Gulf Coast. Ordering that this pipeline be shut down basically invalidates all of the discussion about safety and everything that's been proven in terms of this pipeline, which has the latest and greatest technology and the best monitoring system and shut-in system on both sides of the river of any pipeline in the world. I've personally seen the monitoring system that covers this and the in Houston. This is a critical piece of American energy infrastructure, and the absence of Bakken oil into that Louisiana Gulf Coast, of course, means that you're going to get that oil from somewhere else in the world. So you're going to buy that oil from Libya or OPEC or somewhere else, and when you bring it back home to North Dakota, now this oil has to find a new market. It has to find a new way to get there. So that's going to mean more trucks, substantially more rail. And you know, those in the ag industry remember in 2015 when we were cranking out a little over 1 million barrels a day, 1.2 million barrels a day. The rail capacity got extremely full.
Right.
And this one ruling today has probably put us back in that situation where I will guarantee you that as we speak, every oil rail car that's been mothballed and sitting on a track somewhere is probably getting churned and shaken a little bit, because they probably know that if this thing stands, and I certainly hope it doesn't stand, I confident that every appeal possible and an effort for a stay will be taken. Does a D.C. district judge really have the authority to not only, invalidate his permit, but essentially say that, no, that pipeline should not operate, even though it's been operating for 3+ years? So it's a big deal, and it's going to be hard on investment. The opinion that the judge wrote very clearly acknowledges extreme negative impacts to the state of North Dakota, to the oil investment, to wells, and the costs of moving barrels to market. And essentially, if you're in the ag business, this is no different than shutting down the railroad for and acknowledges that this environmental impact statement that this is now going to wait for would take 13 months to 3.5 years. Well, so let's shut down the railroad and see how we get our ag commodities to market for the next potentially year to 3 years. So big deal. Very unfortunate. Hope it gets stopped.
I think we should remind the folks that this is already an industry that had been hit hard. A lot of industries have, by COVID-19 and the price of oil. And then you had the oil war that was going on that drove the price down. That happened between Russia, I believe, and Saudi Arabia. And so right now, the energy industry and the oil industry had been struggling. You guys actually were getting the oil prices somewhat back to a reasonable area. But there's a lot of companies that took it really hard in the state. And is this going to be kind of a death blow for them with this pipeline being shut down?
Well, it's going to be a big deal, because you always want your barrels going on the most economical transportation, safest transportation mode to the best market possible, and that's what we had with the Dakota Access Pipeline. That's what we have, because I think it's going to continue. But, I came to work today thinking that oil tipped $40 a barrel on Friday for a while, and I'm coming to work today thinking that we're going to start turning these wells back on, we're going to start putting people back to work. We still produce 1 million barrels of oil a day. It's not like we've had a complete collapse of the industry in North Dakota, but we're down from 1.4 million. And, now you get this, so it's more of another negative, dagger in terms of the economic and the investment that we need here. We typically, to run the Bakken at full throttle, we need to invest about $20 million a day. And that means we need to attract $20 million a day. Things like this make investors nervous. Where's your oil going to go? How do you ensure that we're going to get a return on our investment and not get big discounts on your oil like we've seen in the past? So, just another day. And at some point in this country, there was another large natural gas pipeline that was basically shelved last week in terms of just giving up from the environmental obstructionists. And at some point, all of these energy infrastructure projects, the coal industry in North Dakota, the other things, this is going to come home to roost for the American public in terms of our ability to tap into affordable, reliable energy at a fingertip opportunity at whenever, wherever, however we want at a very affordable price. So these projects matter. And so
I think
bad news today.
For folks that don't think that this affects North Dakota, even a person that's not in the energy sector, think again, because there's a lot of tax money that comes from this.
Well, certainly a lot of tax money. We pay somewhere around, my number is about 63% of the taxes collected by the state of North Dakota come from oil and gas exploration and production. But in addition to that, we employ roughly 18% of the state's employees and pay approximately 30% of the wages. So those are big numbers in terms of what that means and keeping the rural electric costs down in terms of a big customer, in terms of the property tax buy-downs, the low-income tax, the funding for schools, the funding for water, all of those things. So these are big issues for our state.
Well, is there any chance that the appeal process maybe would avert the August 5th deadline now to not only shut down the pipeline, but to drain it, according to the judge? Could the appeal process come in before that date?
Well, you just said drain it, and that's interesting. It takes a long time to fill this pipeline. So I hadn't even thought about that. It's not like you can just operate until August 4th. I mean, this thing takes a long time to fill a pipeline like this. Yeah. So, I hopefully we find that out soon, because producers have to make decisions. They have to know where your barrel's going to go on the day in which they say, hey, we can't put any more oil in this pipe, because it's not going to be August 5th. Now that you say that, it's going to be another time. So.
Yep. What does this do for the project? You are actually in the process of trying to double the capacity of the Dakota Access Pipeline. Where does that put that at?
Well, I that was really part of this whole EIS issue. So I am hopeful that just continues. And, when it either continues to operate or when it moves forward, and I think all the states but Illinois have approved that process, which, didn't take any additional pipe, didn't take any additional land, it didn't take anything. You just put more compression on this pipe, and those hearings were held. And let's hope that we see that happen soon, because that was a big deal. 1.2 million barrels of oil a day coming out of North Dakota going to Louisiana Gulf Coast. That's big numbers.
Any final thoughts on this, Ron?
No, I think that we've pretty well covered it, and I just think from a standpoint of everything, this has potential ramifications to moving ag commodities with more oil by rail on the railroads and trucks and all of those things. So.
Again, that was North Dakota Petroleum Council President Ron Ness. We'll be back with more Farm Talk in just a moment.